And we are live. Hi everyone. Welcome in the Spontaneous Conversations number 11 already. Today with us, Laviras, all the way from Sydney, literally the other side of the globe. And I'm mentioning this because we're gonna touch base on the subject in a second, why that's crucial. And I realized last time I didn't introduce myself, so some people are like, yeah, you introduced her, but who are you? So I'll just start with myself, so I cannot forget that. My name is Lotfi. I do inspire people to take the step they need to take to change their lives, to overcome the blockages. I guide people to heal wounds that have left them with scars and triggers that block them in their life today, whether it's regular trauma or sexual trauma. And sexual trauma has been coming a lot on my path in the past decade, so I started to specialize in that. And I organized these shows, this show as well as another show, which is called The Intimate Show, which is more focused on the intimacy side and sexuality side. I organized them because I want people to get inspired. So it's not a promotion, but it's more an inspiration and beautiful conversations with wonderful people. And one of those wonderful people is Laviras. So Laviras, please tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive in.
Thank you, Lotfi, for having me again on this magical, spontaneous conversations, opportunity. You've been asking me every time in the beginning to introduce myself. And every time I am just coming up with something to answer your question, as I don't feel like I want to introduce myself in an expected way. And today I feel like telling you and telling the viewers who I am based on what I experienced in the last 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and today. So based on who I discovered myself to be and what I remember that I've been doing in the last 3 days, I'm going to give myself a description of who I am. But that is just a description of those 3 days. And I want all to know that I want to come to the experience of embodying and living and expressing myself as God creator I am that I am. So for that, if I give any other explanations of who I am, I'm limiting myself. Yeah. So I aspire towards embodying my higher self in every moment and expressing my divinity. And to be that in this physical form, in this reality. And now to go back to what I've been feeling that I would like to tell people that I am when I'm being asked again, I would like to say that this is my conscious mind, an aspect of myself was saying, I like to be a shaman, a galactic shaman. I am galactic shaman because in the last 3 days I've been exploring that aspect of myself. I brought two I brought forth into my daily life that aspect, and I lived as a shaman. And I used that that experience, that knowledge of myself as being a shaman for myself, and I took myself on a journey, a shamanic journey. And it was for this special time that we just been through the eclipse, the solar eclipse and the new moon. And I worked with the plant medicine, and I worked with sound technology, and I use my place, which is in the middle of the city, and the place I'm living, it's is being designed especially to create a temple energy, and it's been used as a healing space for 7 years. So there is a very powerful energy that has been built up over these 7 years with all my practices. So it's a very magical and beautiful place in the middle of the city. So the form of shamanism that I feel that I applied was like a urban shamanism with access and connection to the galaxy, to the galactic centers, the inner Earth centers, and the centers, the most important vortexes on Earth. So accessing those energies, and with the power and the plant teachers, I created my own medicine. I grow my own plant medicine, and I prepare the medicine myself. So everything was a long process with conscious and love, consciousness and presence and intuitive guidance, how to work with these plants, how to prepare the medicine for myself, how to infuse it with the energy of the eclipse, because this medicine also was part of it. I store it for other opportunities, other journeys that I will be doing in the future. So yes, for these 2 days and a half, 3 days, I applied my shamanic gifts that I am able to draw from parallel timelines of living as a shaman healer in many places on Earth and other planets and inner Earth. So this is who I'm going to say that I am today, and this is what I love to do. To love to help people access the latest information that is available to our collective. And that is at the quantum level. And to remind my clients, my friends, and the listeners and the viewers, remind them, or maybe upgrade them with information that is cutting edge at human consciousness. So I like to take people out of the old systems of healing and show them a new way. And that's my passion and joy. Beautiful. And that's something I'm applying on myself. So I'm walking my talk. It's not just something that I'm preaching. I'm living this myself. And I'm continuously learning and looking how can I integrate this new technology, the quantum technology, and the codes and information that I'm getting in my daily life, every day, every moment. And rewire myself, change how I look at what I believe, what I see, what is possible. And I feel very passionate when I have the opportunity to share this with someone, like I did today with my client, which came for a tantric massage. And I mentioned that before, people, they come to me with the idea that they want a tantric massage, but I know that everyone who comes to me comes to be upgraded to this quantum information. So yes, this is a quantum tantra that I teach. So I, talking to my client, I was just so excited, so passionate that I really had to hold myself back, because if I'm getting too excited, what happens to my client? Gets, who thinks what's going on? It gets a bit, is the information is already very very advanced. So it's something that it's very advanced for the for usually for people that I'm sharing it with. And that's the thing, is I am not downgrading the information for them. I'm giving them the full blast. I think I mentioned something similar in a previous interview episodes that we had. It's not about, my intention is not so much to understand everything. They will understand as much as they can understand, but it's more about planting seeds. My voice activates certain circuits into their nervous system and activates codes into their DNA. So my intention is to give them this, to plant the seeds and to give them a bit of information. And then I always give them something to follow up with different teachers, because I'm not here to give them the basics of what is quantum field, what is the quantum creation. This is something that they have to study by themselves. I'm just here to open them up. And if they study by themselves, then I can work with them from that place where they upgraded themselves to that consciousness. Will be even more amazing to have them as clients, to help them create from that space.
I like this part, I mean, this method, because if they don't do the work themselves, they will not benefit. It's about, you need to do the work yourself. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I'll go to this healer and he will fix me. But that's like taking an ibuprofen or a paracetamol headache, but you don't solve the problem. And when you do the work yourself, you actually integrate much better, and then real transformation happens long term. So it's beautiful that you do that too this way. I mean, I used to do healings and I stopped doing that. I'm like, no, I'm gonna guide you and you're gonna do the work. Otherwise it doesn't work. I mean, yeah, I can make a lot of money by saying I'm a healing, I'll heal and I'll fix you, but in the end, people are not benefiting from it. And so it doesn't feel good for me also to do that. So I fully resonate with your method here. By the way, could you tune down a little bit the volume on your side? Because I get feedback from the audio. So.
Yes. So the energies that were very powerful. And I wanted to use this energy. It's interesting that I was invited to a birthday party on Saturday, somewhere out, like about 45 minutes out in nature. And it's a group of people that are all into shamanic work, plant medicine work. I was so looking forward to go there, but there were quite a few obstacles and I didn't make it. I even had a costume. We were going to dress it. We had to dress up in some animal costumes.
Okay.
And I even spent some money, and I had this costume with lots of black feathers, and I thought I'm going to be a crow or a black cockatoo. I had feathers for my head, feathers for my body, and I didn't make it. And I felt like this was a divine arrangement. I had to surrender to this. I had to be here in my place at this very powerful time, because being in my place by myself, I was able to do this work, to focus more. If I would be at a party, even though people, they were all quite interested and beautiful and nice energy, but being around lots of people in times like this, I can't really focus and be so present and really receive this energy to integrate as I was. So, and so I've seen a post on Facebook. A friend shared something about the solar eclipse, and she was writing also that in the ancient times, people, they would not go out during the eclipse times because the energy is too powerful, too erratic. So that was like a confirmation that this is what I was meant to do. So I felt a bit sad because I wasn't there, because I knew it was an amazing party. But in the same time, I chose to not to feed that thinking for any longer, and to remember and recognize and tell myself that this is where I'm meant to be. I'm going to create an amazing journey for myself and entertain myself, because this is what gives me joy, to do shamanic practices, to work with plant medicines with other people or by myself. And so I had lots of fun by myself. I have amazing music, the plant medicine. They took me into a very nice open connection. And I trust that it was a training, and this is what I need to do. I feel that this spirit is training me, or I'm training myself. There's a training that is unfolding. And probably in a future, I don't know how distant future, I will probably be part of a space where this knowledge, it's necessary to how to hold space for people to go through plant medicine journeys, I've been trained as a facilitator for conscious dance, and I love to work with dance medicine, with sound, light language. So there are so many beautiful tools that I have that I'm waiting for that opportunity to open where I can apply this. And I'm sure it will. And if not in this lifetime, I'm taking them for other stars, other planets where I will be using them. Yes, because that's what we're doing. We're also going to, this is a training, so we become we get the experience with this difficult race here, the human race, and we're going to go to other planets, which we will be using these tools to help other civilizations in the galaxy. So I'm pretty sure this is one. If it's not going to be used here, it will be used somewhere else. And I think I said that before. And at the same time, the whole time as I'm going through the day, and as I went through these 3 days, so I know that I've been watched by all these people, these beings from other star systems, which are connected to me. They're always watching me. They always learn from my experience. And even just doing that I feel like I was it was live. I was live online for those extraterrestrial beings, interdimensional beings, which are watching in how is Laviras experiencing her days, her journey when she is at home by herself. What is she doing? How is she experiencing the sadness or disappointment? How is she experiencing, how is she doing, going through when she feels in certain ways? So knowing that, the more I bring the awareness of that this is happening, I'm being watched, not just by one, but there are, as I said before, every cell in my body is connected to a planet in the universe. On each one of these planets are beings, conscious beings, which are learning from me. And I have a contract with all of them. And this is how I receive credits into my galactic bank. I came here with that contract. I'm being paid actually to live through this life by these galactic beings. They are paying me just like people are paying to have access to a certain channel on the internet. They are depositing into my galactic bank credits for me to go through this life experience. So they are having a direct channel into me to see what I'm doing, to learn from me, but also allow them to transmit through me and support the evolution of the planet. So I know that I'm getting paid as I'm just living through, but the only thing is I still haven't worked this out. How am I transferring the galactic credits into my bank account in this timeline? So
we'll definitely have a live on that when you figure it out. We will definitely will have a live about that the day you figure this out.
I turned down the volume and I'm not hearing you well, so maybe I need to turn up the volume a bit more.
No, I said we will have a live the day that you figure out how to do that, because people are now like, I want to know too.
Yes.
And you probably could charge, we could charge a lot of money for people to watch that episode, because it's about making the money. So I would like to highlight two things that you said. One was that instead of going to this party, the universe guided you to take time with yourself, and you listened to that. You didn't force it and went anyway. And this is a thing that is important for people to realize, that when we get signs that we are supposed to be somewhere or not to be somewhere, or to change our plans, that we need to listen to it, because there is this, you can call it God, you can call it energy, you can call it whatever you want, that sees the bigger picture, where we can be like really focused on this little thing and we don't see anything around there. And so we're like, no, I need to go to that thing there because that's in front of me, that's what I want. But there is a very good reason why we need to take a different course. And sometimes it can be literally a car accident, like what I experienced a few years back, not to get to that place. I still don't know the reason, but I just trusted it. So I didn't try to get there another way. I was like, okay, this is the second time that I do not get to that place. First time it was a practical thing. This time it was a fucking car accident with three cars involved and a big mess. So, okay, it's a sign. I'm not supposed to go there. And it's fine. And you described how beautiful your experience was in the end. staying with yourself and what it brought you. And of course, having been there, it could have been fun, and you probably would have also had a beautiful experience there. But clearly, what you needed now was the experience you had now. And that is something you need trust for. You need to trust the process. And this is what I encourage people to do. Trust the process. And the second thing I would like to highlight is what you said about what you're experiencing here, what you're learning. We came, at least that's the philosophy we believe in, that we are spiritual beings who came to have a human experience. And it's like playing a board game. You can go with your with your pawn from start directly. You can put it on the finish line and say, hey, I arrived. But the whole board game is about going through the board with all the limitations are the rules of the game, and the setbacks and the obstacles. And it's an experience. We play the game for the experience, not for arriving at the end, but for the experience. And that is why we are here, for the experience. And this can mean that we will experience nice things, we can experience shit, annoying things, painful things, but it's all about the experience. And the experience can be just for the soul, or can be we experience something today because tomorrow we need to have had the experience so that we can do something with what we've learned. And if we look at life this way, we can start to take it more easily. Not get upset about what's not going as we thought it should go. We can detach a little bit more and just trust that everything is happening for a good reason. Just like you not getting to that party. Again, it's part of the experience. And you didn't know at first why, but now you look back and like, oh yeah, it makes sense. So it all comes back to trusting and being in the here and now and feel in here like, what am I supposed to do? I do get invitations sometimes to do things and like, I don't feel it, so I don't. And sometimes I have something planned and then somebody calls me and says, hey, you want to do this or that? And I just feel something in me like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for all day without knowing. And then I go there and it makes total sense. And I had to be there. And that's why the thing I was trying to do was not really working, because I was just killing time till the moment of the call and to go there. And then that was my mission for the day. So to those watching, please trust and try to stay connected with your heart and your body and feel in your body what works for you and what not. And the more you take time for this, the more you will recognize the signals of what's good for you, what's bad for you, and you will see the quality of your life will change. So I would also like to come back to the conversation we had just before the live, and why I said the other side of the globe. So for me, it's 12:30. For you, it's, what hour is it now for you?
It's 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30. So it's 9:30 in the evening. And we're trying to see what is a better time to do things because, yeah, you're tired now. And you were like, oh, okay, how about your noon? And I'm like, yeah, that's 3:00 in the morning for me. I'm not sure. I mean, like a month ago, I would have said, no problem. I'm going to sleep at 3-4 o'clock in the morning anyway, so no problem. But lately, I start to fall asleep much earlier, and then I'm in bed by 11 or 12, and then I wake up at 4. So still, even today, it would have been too early for me because at 3, I was still in a deep coma. But this also is happening to a lot of people that I'm speaking to that have this issue with their sleep rhythm. Either they suddenly start to go to sleep much later and get up much later, or it's turning around, or it's very irregular, like it is for me. Like, I mean, I do not know what time I will be sleeping tonight. And I do not know what time I will be waking up tomorrow. Today I woke up at 4, I couldn't sleep, so totally bored to death at 6:00. So, okay, I'll get up. And It's just happening. I even trying to meditate to fall asleep didn't work. I just had to get up. And so listen to your body, people. Listen to your body. These are very intense times, not only because of solar eclipses, because that already passed now, not only because of the solar flares, but there is a lot going on the planet. There's a lot of change, there's transformation. And in the middle of transformation, there is agitation also. And that can lead to irregularities in your rhythm. It can be irregularities with the food, for example. Suddenly you want to eat more, or you have been vegetarian for 20 years and suddenly you feel the need to eat meat, or suddenly you feel that you should not be eating meat anymore. Whatever it is, trust your body, listen to it, and take good care of it. Don't force things. Don't say, no, I should not eat this, or I should be eating this because you read it somewhere or somebody told you. No, listen to your body. And if that means that sometimes we need to change our plans, so be it. Because we are in times of change. So I don't know next Monday which hour we will be having the live. We will see. And we'll see if we're going to schedule it and then stick to the schedule or be a little bit more flexible. Anyway, most people watch the replay, so it doesn't really matter. Only the fun thing is we're on two extremities of the time zone, so it can be challenging. But I know we'll find a way to make it work. And I'm not worried about that.
And it's going to be even, and the conversations will be even more spontaneous because we don't even set up the time. That is spontaneous.
And people may say, wait, that wasn't the title Infinite Joy? What the hell have you been talking about? Well, this is crucial for getting to the infinite joy. If you do not listen to your body, if you do not go with the flow, you cannot experience real joy anyway. So all what we discussed in the past 32 minutes is related. And if you get that, then you're on your way. If you didn't, go back to the beginning and listen again, knowing that this is connected to the main subject. And you will start to realize things. So Laviras, infinite joy, what does it mean for you? Just in one sentence, what's the first thing that comes up when you hear infinite joy?
I am not going to answer this question with words.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your laughter says
what
already.
What does it mean for me? Let me see. What does it mean for me? It's a feeling that I can't explain it. It's a feeling that I know it, that feels joy. But it's aliveness. It's a feeling of trusting and knowing that I am in the right place at the right time, and the magic is happening. And even though I didn't want to answer,
good you did. Hold on, because I saw your first response was laughter, very like, ah, and then yes. You were.
No, that was the answer.
Mind. Start to answer, and your face like, and that is the thing. And
yes.
It's beautiful that you did it because people can see the difference.
Yes.
And realize like, there is being in the mind is being in here. So that's already the first answer. The joy comes from being in here, not from being up here and putting all the safeties and everything being very structured and clear and no, being from here. That's when we laugh. Because when we laugh, you open up. That's also what you did. it's the opening. It's not like, oh, this is safe. This is going to be fun in here. No.
Yeah, so when I said that I'm not going to answer with words, it just came out. It was, I didn't even plan to call in I'm bringing in joy. Come on, joy, express through my body. It just happened, you know. My divine intelligence created me without my conscious mind. So
well,
yeah, that was the answer. And in same time, I heard a snippet somewhere on YouTube, an Indian guru, which I never seen before, or I didn't even listen at his name, looked at his name. It just somehow I stumbled upon his video, and I just listened while I was doing other things. I think because the title was something related with joy, and I was thinking, I want to hear what he's saying about joy, and with having in mind that we're going to talk about joy, and he was saying something like, if I'm asking somebody, what are you feeling now, and the person answers, oh, I feel, let's use the word disappointment, the feeling disappointment, and he says, why do you feel disappointment? Then he said, he's creating the story, why is he feeling disappointment? So he was trying to say that when somebody asks us, how are we feeling, we can choose to say whatever we want, and then in that moment we're going to feel that whatever we say. But usually people are so conditioned to a general feeling, maybe it's more like a collective feeling, that I'm not very excited in life, and they usually have lower kind of emotions, so they usually answer with that. And then they just pick up that from the field, he was saying. And then when somebody asks them, so why are you feeling like that? They actually create that idea, that fantasy in their head, giving a story. Why are they feeling the disappointment? Because of this and that happened and that happened. So... and that creates, and he put himself into that space, that timeline, where he really feels disappointed, and he really believes that he feels disappointed. He really believes that this disappointment happened because of this and that, what he just described. But that is just a creation in that moment, a fantasy. It's nothing to do with what it's the truth. So what if when somebody asks us, how are we feeling? And we can take a moment, instead of just saying, you know, picking up this collective vibe, that usually it's a lower energy, we can choose whatever we want. So we can choose and say, I'm feeling excited. I feel joyous. And just by saying I'm feeling joyous, yes, it's already a connection with that energy. And then when you're being asked, why are you feeling so joyous? And then you can say, oh, because I'm feeling this happening in my body and that. So you can create a story, like you create a story with the disappointment. You can create a story with the joy. And the more you create that story, it's going to feel more and more real. And you feel that energy more and more. And I know that feeling of joy, it in the beginning might feel a bit false, might feel a bit not true, but going with the conversation, you'll feel it more and more. So that depends.
It's because of the conversation. The conversation itself can make you feel good.
Yeah,
because you change your focus.
Yeah.
And you,
yeah,
it's. I mean, when I woke up this morning, I was frustrated, disappointed that I could not sleep more. I mean, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning is not fun, at least not for me, and not being able to sleep while I feel like, oh, I would like at least another 2 hours.
Mm.
But Yeah, you see how I'm now. I'm feeling good. But I had a few hours this morning where I was really like, oh, and I was, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any motivation, and I was stuck in that disappointment plus the tiredness. And so you could describe it as I felt like depressed. That was the first word that came up. Oh, am I depressed again? No. And I just let it be. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to try to figure out why, because I took a moment and was like, okay, I do not see clear reasons, because whatever now I'm coming up with, it was already there yesterday, the day before yesterday. And I didn't feel then as I felt now, as I felt this morning. So I was like, okay, it cannot be that. Why would suddenly that thing make me feel this shitty? And so I let it be. And then a certain moment, it just started to fade away. And while you were talking, I realized this and I was like, yeah, but if I look outside into the world, I see there's a lot of heaviness. And so, yeah, I caught that collective energy. And as I'm part of the collective, it can affect me too. So now looking back, I'm like, yes, because I'm part of the whole, it was also me. But on the other hand, it's not really me, because I've worked through a lot of things. So I haven't done maybe enough, or not enough people like us have done enough for the whole collective to get to that next level, so we can still experience, we can still catch those vibes, but it's not anymore who I am. I'm not, maybe I'm with one foot in it or with one toe in it, but I'm not fully in there. So I choose how I want to feel, basically. I choose where I put my attention. And there's nothing wrong with sometimes feeling bad and letting your attention go in the one thing that's really frustrating you or that you hate about the world. It's okay. We are all human. But it's important to realize what we're doing and then maybe just venting. And then after that, choosing to go back to center and in here at the core. Oh, wow, it really starts to get warm suddenly. It's a different feeling. And except if you just lost somebody who's very close, something like that, except for those cases, normally if you connect here, you feel warmth and you can feel the joy and the happiness simply for the fact that you connect with yourself. And that inner connection is what we forget to do. And we always try to get the connections outside. And that's why we need things from the outside to feel better. But when you first connect here, we find that peace and we find the love and the warmth. And if we can feel that for ourselves, then automatically things start to change on the outside. So yeah, and for me the first word that came up for joy was freedom, and related to what I just described, my freedom is not being trapped anymore in the collective energy field. I can step out of it, I can choose to step out of it and be on a different frequency and connect with people on a different frequency. And for me, that is what joy, what the infinite joy, how well we can reach that. That's for me, the joy of life is to make my own choices and being free. And freedom is a very important thing in my life. So yeah, that is my definition. Like our freedom in the conversation now.
It's like open. What?
Like the freedom we have in this conversation. Like
yeah.
Whatever comes up is fine. Let it flow. Trust. Trust the process.
Well, on this subject, I think that to have a joyous life, to get to that place where joy is unfolding as the main energy through the day, I feel that to get we can get there, that joy is just a natural constant way of experiencing this reality. And until then, if we step out of joy, we have to pay attention not to give ourselves a hard time and be hard on ourselves, because it's okay also to feel the other energies and emotions, and to be able to embrace them and love ourselves in all that we experience. And as we do this, there's the formula to get to that place of living in joy most of our day. For me is to let go of all my plans and everything, and to be in every moment, just choose what is my highest excitement. What do I love? What am I excited to do in every moment? Letting go of have to do and everything. So I am very blessed to be able to live this life, because I work for myself. I work from home. And I am free to create my life the way I want to and explore all these ways of going through my expansion. So for me, this is what my practice now, to let go and choose what am I excited to do in every moment. And I was challenged with this earlier, because I knew that we have this plan to meet at 9 o'clock my time, and that was not really my joy. And I was thinking, how am I going to apply this with the situation that we have this meeting and people being informed about our time? And so now I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I'm going to show up, and I'm hoping that in that moment when I show up, I will feel the excitement of being live. But like half an hour before the meeting, thinking about the meeting, I felt, oh my God, I'm low in energy. I feel like I just want to relax now. I just want to have this meal and relax. I don't feel like doing the show. And
you didn't cancel. So what was the reason you didn't say, okay, I'm canceling?
Because I wasn't sure that is the right way to handle this. And
but was it here or here? Why did you make the decision, here or here, to still show up?
I didn't check where is the decision from. I just made the decision. I am showing up. This is something. I was thinking maybe the reason why I don't have the feeling to show up, maybe there is something that I need to overcome. Then maybe so it's very it's tricky sometimes to know how, what to choose, what to do in every moment. Because I do love to do what we're doing, but in same time, I feel tired today. I feel tired even right now. I'm feeling tired.
But that's also normal with all the energies that have been playing out. It costs energy. So It's okay to be tired.
Yeah, it is okay. So I'm not feeling that. I'm sort of, I can say, yeah, I'm feeling the excitement that I'm actually doing this even though I'm tired.
Yeah, but we have been laughing a lot, and we wouldn't have been laughing the way we laughed if we didn't do the right thing in the end. But the whole thing is about trusting and then doing what you feel. And you felt to show up, so you showed up. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I didn't feel like showing up either. But then something in me told me, like, by the time it's 12 o'clock, you will feel okay. And it will be fun. I have no clue how the conversation will go, but it will be fun. So, yeah, feel shitty till 5 to 12, but from 12 you will be okay. And it's true. Okay, I started to feel better already earlier, but it's true.
I feel that one of the things that I want to bring through our meetings is to be natural, because, and to give the permission to others to be themselves natural, and to let go of to be so manicured for the appearance when you are online. Yes. So I don't want to do anything special to, you know, dress up, to put jewelry, to put special things.
I know you did move the plant, the flower behind you.
I love that flower. That flower wanted to be in the where is the flower? That
yes,
flower, I'm going to bring the flower. I want to talk to you about this flower.
You see, that's why I told you to put it on the corner, because you had to be able to grab it. Beautiful.
This is, obviously, you know, it's an orchid. I just got it a few days ago. I couldn't help myself. Look at the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, it's pretty natural, what you see on the camera, on the screen, it's pretty accurate, close to what is really the its real color.
Oh, that dark, okay.
So it's a unusual color. Is the combination of this red burgundy, and it's not only, and not only that, but it's in a really good condition. So when I bought it, I always look at the tips, because many times when I buy orchids, the tips are sort of dying, but the tips are really fresh and they will open. This will last for a long time. So I can see that the tip is alive. I don't know if you can see the tip.
See, yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
A little bit.
It was visible. It was visible earlier. Uh-huh.
And so it's in a really good condition. And they usually last something like 3 months or so.
Yeah, but they grow back, because I have one. It doesn't have flowers now for a few months. But I know at a certain moment it will just start to grow. Now it's only the leaves. At a certain moment it will just start to grow again. And it's like, oh, okay, you decided to show yourself. Good.
Yeah, so going back to what I like to be authentic. Because to give permission to many other people to come forth and show themselves and put themselves out there to share about their life in their own way, whatever they want to do, because I'm very critical with myself. I have a very good eye of aesthetics and beauty, and I can see so much in others, can see so much on myself. So I have very, very, very high expectations of myself. So I'm doing very the opposite. So just for that, I decided I am not doing anything to appear my beautiful, to cover anything up, to just, I'm not even putting lipstick, not even putting earrings. Nothing.
Who cares about these superficial things? I'm not saying they're bad. It's just like it's not important because maybe people not even look at us. They will just listen to us. So they don't care if you have lipstick or what color it will be. They just want to get inspired. I mean, most of the lives that I'm listening to, I'm listening. I barely look at the people talking. Generally, I put it on when I'm cooking and then I'm listening and then sometimes, oh, wait, I need to go back a few seconds. Ah, okay, that's what she said. Okay, but it's more like the auditive. That's why on my website, I decided to also put a downloadable MP3 version of every show. So I went through all the shows I did and all of them, I transcoded them and I uploaded the MP3 files so that it's more easy for people to listen. They can also, they have the Wi-Fi at home, they may not have enough credit to listen online when going to the park. So yeah, put it on your phone and then keep your phone in your pocket because you don't need to keep the screen open like on YouTube and otherwise you lose the conversation and just enjoy the talk while laying or so. It's not important how we look in this kind of view, it's about what you transmit.
There is a balance, I believe. There is a balance of how you present yourself. What's inside comes out. There is a balance. And, the body is our temple. And there is the balance. The thing is, I want to...
Yeah, but you don't look like a homeless because you didn't put up lipstick and earrings. I mean,
sorry?
There's a difference. It's not like you look like a homeless now because you didn't put your lipstick.
I stopped using lipstick for years. And yeah, but earrings, yeah, it's new to me. But lipsticks, makeup, even though I've been trained as a beauty therapist over 25 years ago, I worked just for a short time as a beauty therapist, esthetician. I stopped using lipsticks. I stopped using, I don't use any cosmetics. I just like to give my body to the opportunity to bring in the health that radiates through. So I don't use perfumes. Using perfumes, unless it's natural oils, using those artificial brand perfumes, they actually create a barrier between our energies and the higher energies. So actually the subtle energies, if you work with beings like, let's say, very refined energies like angels or nature spirits or divas, they're actually repulsed by those chemicals, those aftershaves that man uses, and it's so powerful, they're so used to it that they don't smell it themselves, but it just keeps away your natural energy frequency and they cannot access you.
It's masking. I mean,
yes,
people started using perfumes, I mean, at least let's say during the Middle Ages, because they were not washing themselves.
Yes.
So it was masking the dirt. And fun fact about makeup, if you use daily makeup, your body is absorbing 2.5 pounds or kilos, which is a double, I don't remember which, if it was pounds or kilos, of those products and of the chemicals stay in your body. You technically taking in poison, it's poisoning you. Most of the makeup is poison. So now when I see a picture of somebody full of makeup, I'm like, do you realize that you're poisoning yourself? And of course, the industry is not going to say that because when you get sick, they're going to make money on the medication. So it's perfect. It's again a win. But also, I stopped using aftershave or eau de cologne because I didn't feel anymore. I mean, I literally remember the last time I bought it at the airport was a good price. I bought 2 bottles. Of my favorite one, and I think I used it once, and then they stayed in the closet till one day I found somebody to who I could gift it because I suddenly didn't want. And the deodorant I use, it's natural or as close to natural what I can find, which has almost no smell, and that's it. Because, yeah, I can smell my own skin. And if I hug somebody, I enjoy more the hug when I smell the person, because it's an identifier, than when it's a lot of perfume. There are exceptions. Sometimes somebody is wearing something and it can be really nice, but I enjoy the real smell of the person. It's like when you enter a home of somebody. I still remember how the home of my aunt was smelling when I was entering the home. Yes, I knew I was there. You could take me blindfolded. I would know, oh, this is my aunt, my aunt's home. It was a nice smell. I felt home there. And many people have their unique smells and places have that. But only if it's natural, not with all the psh, 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 and these diffusers that they put. I mean, okay. I saw somebody holding a lighter next to it and the fire that was coming out, you know, it's poison. These Christmas trees or whatever things, the ornaments that people have hanging in their cars with a smell, or these little bottles with so-called nice smell. I have a strong sense of smell. I can smell it's chemical, it's not
chemical,
healthy.
Yeah.
And most of the perfumes that women are wearing, and generally it's like, so it's a cloud. So you walk on the street and you start to smell the woman coming. I can smell if it's an artificial one or a natural one. And all the ones have the same bad smell in them. So I don't even know if it was this flavor or that flavor. I smell that very poisonous one thing that's in there. And all the women are smelling the same to me when they have this cheap perfume. And it's horrible.
It's the base. The base of the perfume, it's left. And yes, imagine people come sometimes at our dance classes. There's a beginner. When a beginner comes, they don't know, they wear perfumes or aftershaves. Just one in the whole class. It's just the whole, I always stay away and have to dance away from that person because it's so distracting. It's so hard to be in their presence.
Yeah, but it's also because they put so much. They put so much that they can smell themselves and they're a walking diffuser, basically. And I don't understand that. It's like everyone who was close to me now smells like me. It's like dogs who go and they need to put a pee, like, this is my territory, this is my territory. It's like they're marking the people they interact with. And that's something I really hate. It goes against the freedom. And of course, some women like that. So like when the man goes away, he smells like the woman. So other women will stay away from him. But that's also an imprisonment. Yeah, you look at me like that, but unconsciously women are doing that. They're putting up so much before they hug their man. They're marking him, like possessed by me. He's mine. Don't touch him. And then you have these stupid men who have an affair and then they go home. And they don't realize that their mistress had put on a lot and they smell like the mistress, and that's how they get caught. So it's strange. It's totally fucked up, basically, what people are doing. And it's all out of fear, because why do you need to put so much perfume? Do you really smell that bad?
It's conditioning.
Do you really need to cover up something? Are you really that horrible? By your, originally, is that horrible?
Do you it's also programming.
Huh?
It's also programming, you know, they've
been
programmed by media, you know, you commercials and all that. They brainwash them.
You're not good enough. So plaster your face, then paint it again and put three layers and then you look good. No, you are naturally.
So it's a cover up. So when, let's say, I cover up with all the things that you described and you cover yourself up and we meet, let's say it's a blind date, and we meet and we like each other so much because we have all these covers up, yes? We attracted because they actually put some kind of chemicals that attract the opposite.
Yes,
so,
yeah, the magnet.
So... imagine when we take off our perfume and the perfume wears off after when our relationship evolves and we don't have these perfumes, and then when our real smells comes through, we don't like that. We start to repulse each other. It's not just the smell, but it's an energy that comes out. It's not so much the smell, because the perfume, they cover that particular energy. And then our pheromones or whatever comes out, and it's bringing out the real energy that we have, and we clash.
Then you can have a big mismatch there, yes.
Yes, and then we don't match. So how can the relationship work when we're starting with covering up?
I'm not getting the image of a soap series I saw when I was young. It was playing out in Egypt, and the man would not really see the woman. They would not really date back in the days. So on the wedding night, the woman had to undress. So she started taking off stuff, fake eyelashes, fake nails, I mean, wig. And the guy was just looking like, who the hell is this? Completely different person. I mean, of course it was exaggerated, but I know personally people who literally completely change their look by everything they do and put, and I've seen them naturally, and then I've seen them when they go out or whatever. I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
And that's why they don't kiss. When they kiss, they're like just like this. Because they already discussed the taste of all that crap that's on the face, so they don't want to touch it with their lips. When I kiss somebody, I kiss on the cheeks. But I learned that when I see the makeup, I prefer to do this. Stay away with your crap. I don't want to taste that.
I thought they just kiss like this little bit so they don't take off the makeup and they don't take off the lipstick.
Yes, no contact. I know they don't make contact, which is also is an unhealthy thing. It's very healthy to actually have a real hug and connect with someone. And when you do that and you take a moment, like 10, 20 seconds, the joy you're going to feel is immense. I mean, if you like the person, you know, I wouldn't recommend hugging people you dislike. But if you like the person, you have a hug, a real hug. It warms you up. So the joy, to come back to the subject, you can find it in the small and simple things by just being free, by being yourself the way you are naturally. That's why there is a percentage of people who love to go to nudist centers or communities or camps or beaches, because they can be completely themselves. It's important for them to be purely natural. And you see more and more people who really hug when they meet. There's also a trend of like, now we hug, but they're not real hugs. But you can see when people really hug and they stay for a moment, then there's real connection. And the joy is actually in that, in the real connection through freedom. That's one of the ways to experience true joy, like the freedom of us in this conversation, of just expressing what comes up. That gives joy to be heard and seen the way you are without judgment. And that's what communities are being built for more and more. So if you're watching this, you're like, is that even possible? Yes, it's possible. And if you're open to it, you'll meet other people who want it too. And before you know it, you have a group of people around you with whom you can be free and be purely natural without shame and just being happy. Yeah.
Yes, and the more we accept ourselves the way we are, there's a healing happening. And the body starts readjusting to its natural perfection. But that's for that we need to give the body the opportunity to accept it the way it is, without judgment, and allow it to unfold and to bring back that intelligence that is innate in our body, and start developing a relationship with the cells and with that intelligence, and rearrange and morph our body. We'll get to that place where we can do it. That's something that I am just starting to work on. So there's a lot of experience that I want to bring and to be a way shower with that. But that's I'm very in the beginning with that.
That's fine. People will be following you, so they can learn from you. And I experienced that also when I'm an emotional eater. I mean, food is very important for me, but when I'm not feeling great, I try to feel good through eating. But if there is a day where I'm having a nice, very nice experience, I can easily lose 1.5 kilo in 24 hours. Effortlessly. Because I'm in my joy, and then I easily go back to my regular weight.
Definitely. The times when
people who lose weight, who get very skinny, they can all go back to being normal. So, I mean, some people, they grow fatter because they accumulate all their emotions, and the emotions need to stay somewhere in the body, so the body needs more mass to accumulate everything. And some people, they just keep losing because they're losing energy. So they keep losing literally the weight, and they get like super skinny. But they can grow back normal when they find that balance again. And the beauty is from the inside. Because physically, I didn't change that much. But during my teens, I felt ugly because I didn't feel good. And so when you look at my picture of my teens, you don't see, wow, handsome guy. You can see that there is a potential. But because I was feeling so bad, I had acne and whatever. It was all coming from the inside out. And since I started to feel better, that started to change because I started to appreciate myself more and more. And the more I do that, and that's why many people don't believe my age. I'm 49, but a lot of people think I'm early 40s or even and 30s sometimes they think, okay, I'm getting more white hair here. So that is telling a little bit that I'm not that young, but I look younger than when I was in my 30s, simply because I'm more happy with myself, because I found more inner peace and more inner freedom, and so also more joy. Is she going to say hi to us?
No, maybe.
She just wants to be on the background, showing her tail, like, hey, I'm here with the tail going around.
She is... She's here.
Yeah, I saw you posted a few beautiful pictures of her. Hello.
Hello. She is very, very powerful, and the black cats are the most magical cats. Black. That's why they had this superstition put on them that the black cats that bring bad luck, because you know how everything that is powerful and magical in all times, they used to be covered up with the opposite, so people don't use it, like numbers, and so same with black cats, because they're so powerful in the times of Inquisition, when the witches, they had cats. But they also, that spell was put on their cats. Anyway, that's I feel that it's enough for tonight for me.
It was a beautiful conversation where we went through different fields, but it was all connected. So I think we did an amazing job today, even feeling tired and not being in the mood up front and Still, we did something nice as usual. It was fun. At least I really enjoy it.
I am enjoying it. I enjoyed it, and it's okay. Sometimes I feel it's okay to put a little effort into bringing myself into life experiences that I feel that putting an effort, it's rewarding, but a little effort, not super, it's not about hard
not
work
about forcing
anymore.
Things. It's not about putting force.
Yeah, it's that time of working hard, it's over for me. I've done enough hard work in this lifetime.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's hard work on, for me, the hard work was on being very disciplined with myself on my spiritual path. That's the hard work, not working in certain jobs or something like that. Yeah, I had some jobs where I worked a lot, but not for too long. But the hard work, I put a lot of hard work in my spiritual development, which this is not the way. This is not the way. But it was for me. And it's from the old times. It's something that is imprinted in the memory of my DNA, timelines of, you know, of living in monasteries, living as a monk, and living all this old energy kind of discipline in to become spiritual, old times, like religions, and yeah, too serious, too much discipline, which was necessary, but in the beginning of my journey, in those times, for me, no, I'm not saying this is for now, for others, but that was for me then, because I sort of started around 1990. So the consciousness of the frequency of the Earth, the consciousness, the collective was very dense, very dense. So in that dense energy, it was necessary to have to do hard work to get out of that density of that hard, deep energy. And so it was necessary, but not anymore. And whoever starts now, that's not the way anymore. Whoever works on themselves, this is a new way, this is a new timeline, this, everything is different. So that's why no more hard work, no more work, there's no more work. But sometimes I'm inclined, and if I'm not working, sometimes I'm wondering, am I getting lazy? Because it's still that time that of hard work is still affecting me. So the tendency for me is to always worry, and not always, but I'm it's in the back of my mind. If I'm lazy, is this real that I don't have to work? Is this real that it's not meant to be hard work? That it's
you're also more efficient. You know how to dose your energy to reach the result through your life experience and through your growth. And one of the reasons is because you feel here, and from here you get the real answer, where the mind is making whole calculations, and you get the long road to somewhere. But from here, it's not about shortcuts and cutting angles, but it's about taking the efficient way to where you really need to be, and pass by the points where you need to pick up your tools that you need for your destination. But it's an efficiency, so it's not a laziness, it's an efficiency. But that's confused by a lot of people, because they cannot see that yet.
Okay, thank you. It's always my joy and my greatest pleasure to share with you, with all of you. Thank you, Lotfi. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Until next time. Whenever that will be.
Yes. We're going to discuss that. Have a beautiful day, everyone, or night, or whenever you're watching this. Bye.